What's up, Duke fans, and welcome to another episode of Duke Blue Central. We are coming at you live after an awesome victory from the Duke Blue Devils in their first game of March Madness for defeating Vermont. Always good to get that first game under your belt. Celebrating, obviously, here late night tonight after all the games of March Madness. It has been an incredible run of the tournament so far this year, and we're obviously excited that the Duke Blue Devils came out on top in their first game of this year's tournament. Felt like forever since Duke had played a game of basketball. We had a week layoff, obviously, since losing in the ACC tournament, and that just felt like ages. That's not something Duke is used to doing. We're not used to bowing out that early in the conference tournament to where we have this much time, I thought you could tell a little bit. I felt like we were a little rusty at points in the first half and even in the second half, just getting back into game shape. It's a lot different just practicing against your own players than it is going out there and playing an actual team that that is playing with all the conviction because they know their season is absolutely on the line. But Duke came out and won it tonight. But was it closer than it should have been? Probably yes. Were there mistakes Duke made that if they make moving forward, they might not make it very far? Yes. But for tonight, we got the victory. We finished the game Duke 64, Vermont 47. Holding Vermont to 47 is probably the best achievement of this game thus far. I was convinced that if Duke really wanted to get a convincing win, we were going to have to get to 70. Turns out we still win the game by 17, holding Vermont to 47. Hard to complain about anything defensively in this game. Vermont's a team that shoots a ton of threes, and it was Duke's strategy to really limit those threes and limit one player in particular. If you could single out on Vermont as a big threat, was TJ Long. Duke held him to 1-for-8 shooting today, only finishing with 3 points. Two other guys they played on the team had some pretty good nights, but Duke shut down the player they wanted to shut down and limited Vermont to only shooting 25% from three. They went 3-for-8 on the game, didn't even shoot that much. Duke also went, we went 6-for-18. Vermont went 5-for-20. Forgive me, I was reading the first half stats. Forcing Vermont to 25% from the field. Duke went 6-for-18 in that margin. For a team that shoots as many threes as Vermont did, I anticipated them to make a lot of these threes. Just feels like how March Madness games go. When you've got a team like that that's playing for their life, feels like they make some shots they're not supposed to. And in the first half, that happened. I thought Duke should have had a bigger lead than what they ended up having. They were up 5 at halftime. They were up 9, I think maybe even 10 at large for pretty large portions of the first half. They made some mistakes and let Vermont get back into the game. A couple of those mistakes, Jalen Blakes was actually introduced in this game moderately early after not playing for several games. Shire put him into the lineup. He disrupted really well on defense, causing 3 steals, but I think 2 of them he forced bad turnovers that he didn't need to. Duke was turning the ball over a little bit, and that allowed Vermont to get back into the game when Duke probably could have ended this game in the first half, and we let them back in and have a 5-point, only having a 5-point lead at half. And Vermont came out of the second half looking pretty decent, but Duke really ratcheted up the defensive intensity the last 15 minutes of the game or so, holding Vermont to only 18 points in the second half. And I don't care who you are, for a team that averages above 70, to hold them to 18 points is quite an effort for this Duke team. And that's something that I think you can look back on this game and think the most positively about, is Duke's ability to stop Vermont. Let's move on to some individual performances. And the big one that everyone is talking about is Kyle Filipowski's maybe controversial performance. In case you missed it, Flip only shot the ball 1 time tonight. That's right. You know, All-American, same guy, Kyle Filipowski, Duke's best player, shot the ball 1 time. He had 3 points. All of them came from the line. He did not make a shot tonight, but still he finishes with 12 rebounds, 4 assists, which is tied for a team high, and 3 blocks, which is, of course, is the team high. Also tapped on 2 steals to add to that. Now, I would like to make the argument that Flip did have a good game tonight. It was obviously Vermont's strategy to take him out of the game. And, I mean, he was getting really D'd up, double-teamed every time he even sniffed the ball. There were 2 Vermont defenders on him. And Flip, I think, for the most part, every time that happened, made the right decision in trusting and passing out to one of his teammates. Now, I do think Duke could have made Vermont pay even a little bit more than we did. I think there were times we missed open shots or just turned the ball over when the good pass was made. That's something I think that's going to be need to cleaned up because I think teams moving forward can say, look, you just double Flip, he has to pass it out. Sure, 64 points was enough points to beat Vermont the way Duke was playing defense, but I don't know if 64 points on offense is going to be enough moving forward at any point. Maybe in the second round, but certainly if you get past that, you're going to need to score in the 70s if you're Duke to have a chance at winning. Could be wrong, but we'll see. Who knows? Match up with Houston, they're really defensive. Maybe you can get out of there scoring 68. But yeah, Duke definitely wants to score more on offense, no doubt about it. But doubling Flip tonight for Vermont was obviously a big point of emphasis on the game. But he, for the most part, was able to pass it out and teammates make enough shots to win tonight. A couple of the guys he was passing to early, Mark Mitchell had an awesome game tonight. Maybe player of the game, it's between him and Jared McCain. But Mark Mitchell had a really efficient day, 6 for 9 from the field. 5 rebounds, 1 block, 1 steal, finished with 15. Only part of his game I didn't like was he went 50% from the line, 3 for 6. Mark has just really struggled with free throws as of late, and that's something that could really hurt Duke moving forward if they are to advance any farther, and it could hurt us even in the next game. Just him not being able to convert at, you know, at least 65% is really rough, especially in end-of-game situations where you potentially could have him at the line for critical buckets. You just love to see him making more of his average free throw shooting statistics. But other than that, Mark had a good game, good defensively as he always is. The whole team was good defensively. I mean, you can't hold any team to 47 points and be mad at any one player's defense. But Mark had a great game. Jared McCain, again, as we just said, had a great first game to March Madness. Went 2 for 6 from 3. Could have been more. He missed some wide open ones. Tacked on 6 rebounds, his usual seems to be rebounding total. 3 assists. Also finished with 15 points, if I didn't say that already. Great game from Jared. Jared looked like he had returned to himself. He didn't play like he normally does against NC State. I don't know how much of that was on the injury he sustained in warmups, but Jared McCain played a good game tonight and played like the McCain we all know and love. And his point total could have been even more if he had made some of the open threes he got. He had some 2, I think, that were wide open, especially by his standards, and he missed them. Jeremy Roach had a kind of a tale of two halves game today. I think he only had 3 or 4 points at halftime. He ends up with 14, Duke's third leading scorer, but he wasn't super efficient today. He only shot the ball 3 for 10. He did make 1 3, and he was able to go 7 for 9 from the free throw line. Finished with 5 rebounds and 4 assists, so good for him. Did cough the ball up 3 times, which isn't good. He got caught driving into the lane several times in that first half, which I normally love. But he was doing it a little too much when he didn't have a clear lane to the basket. A lot of this maybe going too late after the screen was set or something like that. Or just Vermont being able to predict what he's going to do and stack the paint. And Roach not recognizing that to kick out to an open teammate. Instead, just opting to kind of drive into a crowd. And sometimes he can pull out those shots and make them. But it wasn't happening in the first half, and I started to get worried when Jeremy really wasn't performing as well as we need him to in March. Second half, he came out, eased a lot of those worries. was able to kind of make more cuts to the basket with open lanes, and more importantly, was able to get himself going at the free throw line, drawing fouls and making foul shots, which is something Duke needed to do and needed to take advantage of as of late. We really forced Vermont into fouling us a lot, especially in that first half where it was kind of a whistle fest for both teams. But Duke was really able to get inside on Vermont and force them to make tough decisions when guarding us. We got into some foul trouble in the first half. Tyrese picked up two quick fouls, wasn't able to play for a while there in the first half, but I mean, I say a while, he still finished with 36 minutes playing, so if that's a while, I don't know what is. It's going to be interesting to see how the rotation slims up. I mean, we're really seeing it now. I mean, Mark played 35 minutes, Jared 34, Roach played 39, Proctor played 36, Flip played 37, so that is not a lot of time on the bench for these guys, especially with Caleb Foster now officially being out for the year. These guys just kind of have to grit through that. I mean, I think these guys are all future pros, so it's something they're going to have to get used to and maybe are used to now. But yeah, it's going to be pretty much just them playing the rest of the way. Jalen Blake's actually ended up with 9 minutes today, which is good, able to give the guards some rest. That's the spot Caleb Foster normally would be. But Ryan Young only getting 2 minutes, and then TJ Power, Spencer Hubbard checked in for maybe less than 1 minute at the end of the game. But yeah, we're essentially seeing a starting five. And that's it for this Duke team. Not a lot of help from the bench, not a lot of scoring from the bench. We only had, I believe, 2 points from the bench today. So we're relying heavy on the starters. Don't need anybody in foul trouble. For the most part, a lot of these guys, you know, a lot was said about Flip at the beginning of the year, and his kind of lack of ability to withhold fouls. He's gotten a lot better at that throughout the year. A lot of these guys have grown throughout the season and are able now to kind of rein in the fouls, but it is scary knowing that, you know, a referee has a bad whistle for one game and potentially that can really affect the game for Duke. But that's the price to pay when you don't have a very maybe deep bench per se, and some of that's injury, so I hate even saying that. But yeah, that's what Duke is just gonna have to face now. Moving on, like Tyrese Proctor had himself a good game. He did go 5 for 14, so not the greatest shooting splits. He was able to go 3 for 9 from three, but the shots he hit were loud, they were important, and we needed them, and he was able to step up and make them, and a couple of them were just great plays, those typical Tyrese plays where he's able to step back, cross over a guy, and drill a shot. Those are loud buckets from him, and I only expect Tyrese to get better as the tournament goes on. The injury to Caleb Foster really is going to make him shoot more, and I like that. I do think we need to get more shots for McCain. That's not directly his fault or anything. McCain only shot the ball 9 times tonight. I'd like to see him shoot it even more. But Tyrese, I like him taking a lot of shots. I think he's a great, good shooter for the most part, and I think he can create a lot of baskets for himself. Now, this game I do think will be kind of an enigma for Duke in the tournament. I doubt there's going to be another game where Kyle Filipowski only takes one shot. I think he could be in the 15 to 20 range the remainder of the tournament, so we'll see how that goes. But in a low-scoring game like this, sometimes that can happen. But yeah, look, this is a one-game tournament. Nobody should be talking about how you win in March Madness. It has no indication for how you're going to play the next game. You pretty much, every game in the tournament, you ball up the last game in your mind and throw it away, because it does not leave you a lot of time to celebrate, does not leave you a lot of time to linger on mistakes. You just got to go and get to the next one, especially in the way the tournament's set up, which is double games. So Duke will be playing again on Sunday. They don't have a lot of time to linger on this. You get a little bit more of a break if you win then to go to the Sweet 16. But then you got two more and no time to rest there either. That's the beauty of March Madness. It all happens very, very fast. But yeah, good win for Duke. I thought the coaching strategy was good. I think we missed shots that we normally would make. I think it took a while for Jeremy to get going. Hopefully this was enough of a warm-up game where they can kind of dust off those shoes and shake off all their errors from not playing for so long, because we're going to need it. And I waited to record this until after the games were done tonight just to figure out who Duke was going to be playing on Sunday. We're going to be playing the JMU, James Madison Dukes. So it's going to be Duke versus the Dukes. And if you have got tired of hearing that, just wait. The announcers are already all over that. And I'm sure they're going to be all over it during the entire duration of the day on Sunday. So get ready to hear the Dukes versus Duke a lot. And just to give you a small scouting report on them, they had a game against Wisconsin today, and in which they really, I don't want to say dominated, but they didn't look back. They started the game with a ton of energy. It felt like it was going to be a blowout at some points of the game because of how well JMU was putting it on Wisconsin. I don't think, as I'm looking at the stats now, I don't think Wisconsin ever had a lead. Very quickly, this game got out of control for Wisconsin. They were able to bring it back, I think, to 9 at one point, but that was the closest they ever got. JMU is a quick team. They force a ton of turnovers. They have active hands on defense, and they are, I saw a couple of Duke fans tweeting tonight, they are kind of an all-or-nothing approach on defense. They sell out for steals. For better or for worse, they're going to try to block shots. They play really physical. And sometimes that worries me because I think Duke, the latter half of the year, has gotten a little turnover happy. Beginning of the year, it was one of our strengths, and we kind of got worse at it throughout the season. We got a little careless, and there were even times tonight we were a little careless with the ball. Some of it's tough because it's like, I think 3 of our turnovers today were Jalen Blake's coughing it up out of a fast break, or and that's not normally, like, normally he doesn't even have the ball enough to give you 3 turnovers. And this is a game where Duke still only finished with 9 turnovers. So if you even cut down 2 of those, we're not even talking about that. But Duke is going to need to maintain that against James Madison if they hope to move on to the Sweet 16. The Duke will have a size advantage down low against JMU. They do not play like a typical center. The tallest guy on their team is 6'9". He's a big 6'9". He's not like a slender type. He's a physical 6'9". So Flip should have an advantage there again down in the post. However, I mean, we said the same thing about Vermont. Forgive me. Flip even had a bigger size advantage against Vermont than he will against JMU, and they were able to neutralize his scoring. He had a great effect on the game. I actually think Flip had a good game, but he's going to need to score more if Duke wants to go far, and they were able to effectively get the ball out of his hands for the entire duration of the game, even without all that size. So I'm sure JMU is going to watch that tape and do the same thing, because I think they're betting that they're going to score more than 47 points on Duke's defense, more than Vermont did. Now, another thing with JMU, they play fast. I don't know if it's statistically, I'm not going to pretend I know everything about JMU, but tonight against Wisconsin, they play really fast, really loose. They can kind of be described as kind of a glass cannon team. They are going to come at you, attack you, let you know that they're there, and sometimes that's great, and sometimes for other teams, if the opponent can kind of just can kind of just play really disciplined, it's really bad for them. So I think a major key to the game against James Madison is how disciplined Duke can be in the simple stuff. How well do we pass the ball? How well do we catch the ball with 2 hands? How lazy are we going to be when we're going after loose balls? Because I can promise you James Madison's not going to be lazy at all. How well do we kick out to open man to an open man, and how well are they hitting their open shots? That's something that drives me crazy. When all that passing comes around the horn and a guy misses an open three, can't happen against James Madison. And another thing is Duke is going to have to deal with James Madison's physicality. I said earlier Duke will have a size advantage down low, but interestingly enough, James Madison is kind of a big team when it comes to the backcourt. Normally, Duke always has a size advantage in the backcourt just because of the length of Tyrese Proctor and even guys like Jared McCain. I think McCain is 6'2", Proctor's like 6'5". Generally speaking, that's enough to net you a pretty big size advantage over most guards in the country. Not the case for James Madison. Their guards are just as big, if not a little bit bigger than Duke's guards, and that's interesting to me. What worries me is I don't think they're used to that all year. McCain is a guy who's a little bit smaller, so he might be used to getting bodied up by kind of bigger defenders, especially a guy like Proctor. I don't think he's used to having guys his size guard him a lot, and I hope that that doesn't shock him too much. James Madison is a winning culture team. They won 30 games this year, not in a great conference. I believe they're in the Sun Belt, not in a great conference, albeit not in a total garbage conference either. But so they know how to win games, and they won versus a good Wisconsin team, tonight, and they held them to a pretty low scoring total. Very low scoring total for them. Wisconsin was a very offensive-minded team, and they were able to hold them to a really low total scoring output on the game. Their defense is maybe what surprised me the most about them. I kind of knew how fast they played on offense, and they can shoot really well. They're physical. They attack you. But their defense, man, they just hounded Wisconsin at every possible lane, and Wisconsin could just never shake that feeling of it almost like if Wisconsin was playing afraid, because James Madison was so aggressive on defense, and that's something Duke's got to be ready for. Now, we can use that aggression to James Madison's downfall. They are going to be jumping every passing lane, so I expect to see a lot of backdoor cuts and things like that. Hopefully this can be a game against JMU like it was against Vermont today, that we see a lot of open Mark Mitchell dunks. A lot of the times we would do kind of empty side pick and rolls with Mark, and nobody would follow Mark, and we could give him an easy dunk. I hope to see a lot of that against James Madison, because I think they're going to be so wrapped up in trying to poke the ball out of the guard's hands that we can get the ball inside. I wonder if their strategy against Flip is going to be the same as Vermont's was. I could see them really just rushing to the ball almost super fast. So I expect if Flip's able to get the ball down low, they're going to send the double at him. Hopefully he can kick to an open man, but they're going to be flying out there almost with reckless abandon. So the shooter should know that. Give him a pump fake, let him fly by. Hopefully we can see a lot of that during the game. But Duke is going to have to play well. I think JMU is underseeded. It definitely did not look like a 12 seed to me playing a 5. It looked like the other way. It looked like they should have been the 5, and James Madison should have been it looks like James Madison should have been the 5. Wisconsin should have been the 12. Forgive me, it's really late when I'm recording this. So if my thoughts are not all together, it's because of the lateness of this recording. But before I log off, let's go over kind of some bracket surprises, talk about how other teams are doing, how different conferences are doing. I find particularly very, very interesting. A lot of credit going to the ACC right now, but just to summarize it, some of the biggest upsets, we have to start with Kentucky, Oakland. I mean, Oakland, Oakland just shot the lights out against Kentucky and was able to upset them. And that really summed up what was a horrible start to the tournament for the SEC. I think they had 8 teams in the tournament, and I think only 2 of them are left. Three of them are left. Forgive me. Texas A&M, Tennessee, and Alabama are the only teams remaining for the SEC, despite 8 of them being in. So that's 3 teams for the SEC. By the way, the ACC has four teams in at this point while only managing to get five teams in the field. And one of them was Virginia, who was in the first four. So every ACC team that made the official field of 64 advanced to the second round, making for four. And I think some of them are set up to go even farther. Duke has this game against JMU. Well, they probably will be favored. Still a tough game, don't get me wrong. NC State now has, I feel like, I'm looking at this for NC State as a possible run to the Elite Eight for them. They have to play Oakland, who we know, look, they did just beat Kentucky, but how much of that was just a magical night for Oakland? We'll see. Are they going to be able to shoot the lights out against NC State? They easily could, but I would pick NC State to win that game. Then they're going to face the winner of Colorado and Marquette. Now, I know like it's likely going to be Marquette. I don't know the way Colorado beat Florida today. They scored 102. Could be them too. But either one of those two. I mean, you're telling me you're going to play them to get into the Elite Eight? I might take NC State over both of those teams. Even compare that to Duke's run. Like, we have to play JMU, who really just put it on Wisconsin. Now, I know, like, Oakland beat Kentucky. Kentucky is a better team than Wisconsin is in all likelihood. But I think part of Oakland's win was just, like, hitting a bunch of threes. James Madison's win was not like a three-point barrage. They just dominated Wisconsin in almost every way. And then on top of that, if Duke wants to get to the Elite Eight, we're probably looking down at a matchup with the number one Houston team. Is it possible that an 11-seeded NC State somehow got an easier draw than Duke did? Now, they didn't when the tournament released. I mean, who's going to predict? Like, they should be playing Kentucky probably in the second round, and nobody would be talking about it then. But what a path for them. North Carolina's Michigan State looked really good the other night, but obviously they're one seed, so they're going to be well set up. Clemson's got the toughest game against Baylor. Baylor's is a great team. We know them all too well. But overall, great day for the ACC. A lot of discussion is being had online. A lot of discourse about how certain conferences get certain treatments every year. The ACC seems to be one of those conferences that gets left out, and we continually perform in March. So I'm just so sick of this narrative that the ACC sucks and all that. Maybe in the regular season, maybe we're just not as good as some of the other conferences, but I feel like everybody knows, and everybody who's watching these tournaments and who really cares about college basketball has to see that every year the ACC overperforms when it matters. And I don't know how that doesn't get looked at more. I think teams, I saw a great Instagram video. Someone was saying, like, teams like Mississippi State in the tournament should have been Pitt, or, you know, another or other SEC teams that got in, like, should have been Wake Forest or something like that. These SEC teams in that get in with high losses just on the merit of being a part of this mighty SEC conference, just to lose when we have ACC teams that are proven tournament performers that don't get in. Look, I'm not going to tell you like the ACC was the best in all of college basketball this year or anything, but I'm just tired of when we get to March, all these ACC teams do well, and then the next year nothing changes and we're still looked at as a bad conference. It was a little better this year getting the five in, but it's just, I don't know, maybe it is a thing of it's just the top of the league is that good and everybody else just stinks. But I can't think that that's true when we saw a team like Pitt win a few games in a tournament. Was it last year or 2 years ago? And it just, man, it feels like the Elite Eight every year has at least two ACC teams in it. Hoping that's true for this year too. Hopefully one of them's Duke. But yeah. Bracket, I don't think there's been any other huge, like, as I'm scrolling through here, don't think there's been any other just massive upsets. I mean, Oakland's definitely the biggest one, but this is maybe the chalkiest that the bracket has been in a while. No 2-15 seed upset. We've had that for several years in a row now, it seems. And even the 3 seeds, let's see, Illinois got through, Kentucky obviously lost, Creighton won, and Baylor won, all but one 3-seed won. four seeds. Duke obviously won. Kansas won, kind of by controversy, definitely by controversy. Auburn did lose to Yale. That was a really big upset, and Alabama won. So again, like one four seed goes down. And then once you get to the five, some of these 12 seeds are just really good teams. So like Wisconsin losing to JMU wasn't even a surprise to a lot of people. But yeah, this is the most kind of a, it's not been unexciting, but there has not been, other than Oakland, I feel like there's not like that one like random team that's just made it through. All these programs are, I guess you could say Duquesne beating BYU too. That's a big one, especially if they're able to win another game. But like if Oakland loses to NC State and Duquesne loses to Illinois, like you'll see like there'll be like no real like Cinderellas left. You know, you would count NC State at that point as an 11 seed being a Cinderella. But I'm going to be honest, folks. I think Duke, if Duke's able to get to the Sweet 16 and like is able to pull out that, you know, miracle game beating a one seed Houston, there I'm feeling like there's a high likelihood chance we could be facing the Wolfpack in the Elite Eight. If we, I'm not saying we're going to make it that far, but if we're able to do it, and I hope that we can, and I think we have the ability to. I just think I really like NC State's draw. I wonder how long Oakland's going to be able to keep this up. And even if it's a Marquette, a two seed, facing them in the Sweet 16, Marquette at times didn't look convincing today against Western Kentucky. Colorado's on a burner. They could put them out. But we'll see. I think we could be going for the pack, going and facing NC State in the Elite Eight, which would be an insane statement to think like a few weeks ago. But honestly, Duke's got a lot of work to get there. It is no small task, even just to beat JMU. But yeah, this is an exciting matchup. Overall, if I had to leave you with one thing or my confidence that I feel in Duke against JMU, I feel pretty good about our matchup with JMU. I know that they've won a ton of games this season. Win 30 games in a year is nothing to slouch at. But they played, other than tonight, they've only played one top 100 team in KenPom, and that was their very first game of the season, where they did win in overtime against Michigan State, at Michigan State. Heck of a win, and then heck of a win tonight. I'm hoping that because it's a small program, because perhaps their coach seemed like a really well-spoken guy, but maybe because of their lack of experience in this parts of the tournament, that Duke's able to have that advantage over him. Now, look, you could easily say it's John Shire, so maybe he hadn't been a head coach in these situations, but he's been next to Coach K for plenty of intense March Madness games. And just Duke as a program, Jeremy Roach is a guy who went to the Final Four, has went deep in some tournaments. He knows what it takes to get there. I'm hoping that experience kind of carries Duke through, and just the talent I think is better at Duke than it was at Wisconsin. I hope we can have a better flow to our offense, and I think we have we'll have the most dynamic player on the floor and Kyle Filipowski. Hopefully that can carry us through. I think a big key, like I said earlier in the episode, big keys to the game for me is that Duke doesn't turn the ball over, and that we're able to get into the flow of our offense despite how disruptive JMU's defense can be. And I look for us to use that aggression to their disadvantage, look to kick to the open man, look to pump fake and let defenders fly by, and hunt the easy shots, and make the easy shots is the most important part. Make your open threes, make your free throws, make your open layups, make your easy shots at the baskets. We're going to need all of those. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I think we just continue to play like us. What's kind of tough about this JMU team is like they don't have a singular guy to me that was like, oh, you got to shut down this guy. And that's sometimes a little harder. Like sometimes if teams are playing with just, it's like one guy and you can let anybody else shoot, they're easier to defend because you can just send people at that one guy and that's it. But they play team basketball on offense, and they shoot really well. So I would primarily be concerned with stopping the threes. And Flip played an awesome defensive game tonight, had three blocks. So I'd let him handle the paint by himself with Mark, but really let's run him off the three-point line and force him into taking bad shots. But yeah, I feel pretty good about the game. JMU is going to come in with a lot of energy. If Duke comes out flat in this one, we will lose. I will just say JMU's mentality is on point. They came out against Wisconsin today like they were a number one seed beating up on a 16. And that energy carried them throughout the entire game. And Duke at times, we started well tonight, but Duke at times has started slow, ended halves bad, started second halves bad, ended second halves poorly. The energy's got to be on point for Duke throughout this entire game, or James Madison's going to send us home. Because they are going to be so amped for this one. Duke needs to get up for it as well. And I'll leave you with that. But, yeah, we'll be back Sunday recording another episode, hopefully talking about a Duke win. But really appreciate each and every one of you listening to the podcast throughout the month of March. Best month of the year for college basketball. It's been so fun so far. But I'll catch you guys again in the next episode. Go Blue Devils.